We want to thank the worship team again for just leading us in worship. Oh, before I get into the message, I want to ask for you to keep something in prayer. I'm sure as you have driven by our church, you have noticed that our landscaping needs some work. And what I want to ask is that you would pray, and if maybe one of you would be willing to help us with the landscaping. And here's what I mean by help us. If you would be willing to maybe contact landscapers, get some bids for us and help us so that we can, I mean, we have done heroic work in the past. Amen. I'm telling you, it's heroic. We have had those in our congregation who have been out there in the heat pulling weeds, and it is, I kid you not, a Herculean task. Amen. But I think we're probably at the stage where we need professional help. Amen. Amen. And so if you're willing to help us, contact professionals who might be willing to do that task for us and to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, then please, you can see me after service. You could also see one of the members of the leadership team. If you would be willing to be a point person to help us and field some bids so that we can take care of our landscaping. Believe me, it looks that way not because we don't care. It looks that way because it is too much to manage for us. Amen. And so we could use some help. And so just keep that in your prayer. Amen? If the Lord would lead you in such a way, praise the Lord. Our passage this morning is found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. I'm going to read this passage again, and then we'll turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. 2 Timothy chapter 1. As you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want you to remember that as Paul is writing 2 Timothy, Timothy is a timid minister difficult ministry. He's timid. He's somewhat young, relatively young. He's serving with people who are a little bit older than he is. They are intimidating. He's receiving pushback in his ministry. Paul is aware of this, and he writes 2 Timothy to encourage him. And I want you to hear how he uses gracious words to speak to the need that Timothy has. He's discouraged. I don't know if you've ever tried to serve God. I don't know if you've ever tried to do something that you thought was really important and you felt like God was leading you to do it, and you get out there and you start doing it, and instead of people appreciating what you've done, they criticize, they pick on you. They provide challenges and roadblocks. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but it's a discouraging thing. That's where Timothy is. And I want you to, I said all of that because I want you to hear how Paul aims his words to minister to the situation that Timothy is facing. Listen to what he says. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Let's pray as we open our hearts for this morning's message. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. We thank you that your word is a guide for us. And I pray that your spirit, your Holy Spirit, would work on our hearts and work on our minds and transform us into the people that you want us to be. I pray that your spirit would work in us so that we would be like Jesus, that we would act like Jesus, that we would speak like Jesus, that we would follow in the steps of Jesus, your dear son. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. A few months ago, I was in a public building. I was doing ministry. I was walking down a hall, and I had my mind on my ministry. And as I was walking down the hall, there was an elderly lady who was off to the side of me, and I was walking down the hall on business, trying to accomplish my agenda, and this elderly lady, she turned to me, she looked me directly in the eyes, and she said, "You are beautiful." Now, I was shocked. I was confused. Because people don't tell me that every day. I don't know. I'm sure you get that every day all the time. But I don't. And so when she said, "You are beautiful," I stopped and I looked at her. And she looked at me and she said, "You really are beautiful." Now, I was so struck by those words that when I got home, I told my wife, I said, "Teresa, there was this lady and she was in the hall and she stopped me and she said, 'You are beautiful.'" And I told my wife, now she was an elderly lady, amen. But I was stirred by these words. And part of the reason I was stirred by those words, "You are beautiful," part of the reason is because I didn't know what she meant. It's like, what does she mean? Why would she say that to me? And I was struggling trying to grasp the meaning of her words. Because as I was thinking about her words, I thought, one thing I know she doesn't mean. I know this elderly lady isn't saying to me that I find you to be physically attractive. I knew she wasn't saying that. But if she wasn't saying that, what was she saying? "You're beautiful." And then I thought maybe what she meant is that you have a beautiful character. But then I thought, you know what, that doesn't fit either. Because I'm walking down the hall, here she is, I've never met her before. How does she know my character? How does she know whether it's beautiful or not? It can't be that she was speaking about my character. And so I was like, what does she mean? Maybe what she meant is that I had a smile on my face and my disposition was a beautiful disposition. Maybe that's what she meant. But then I thought, that can't be what she meant, because that's not what she said. She did not say, "You have a beautiful smile." She said, "You are beautiful." And I have struggled to understand what she meant. I still don't understand what she meant. But here's my point. even though I don't know why she told me I was beautiful, her words stuck in my heart and they made me feel good. Whatever she meant by those words, her words were powerful words, and her words were what I needed to hear. As a matter of fact, that happened to me, I told you, a few months ago. I'm still talking about it. I'm still thinking about it. And as a matter of fact, I still feel good that she told me I was beautiful. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, you know what? That lady made an investment in my life. I was walking down the hall, minding my own business, and she stopped me, and she made a powerful investment in who I am. When she said, "You are beautiful," she invested me with something powerful and something good and something that is still keeping me going in some ways. Now, here's what I want you to think about, is that her investment was the investment of about 5 seconds. How long does it take you to say you were beautiful? But think about the return on her investment. The original investment, 5 seconds. The return on that investment is that months later, the person to whom she said it is still thinking about it. The words are still ringing in my mind. The words are still lodged in my heart. All these months later, her words still have power. So what's your point, Pastor Mike? My point is really very simple. It is the same point of Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. What I want us to know this morning is that God has called us just as he called that lady. He has called us to a very important ministry. You say, what's that ministry, Pastor Mike? Is it preaching? It may involve preaching. It may involve serving. It may involve going across the world on a mission trip. But God's called all of us to one very important mission. One very important ministry, and that is to speak gracious words to the people around us. Do you realize gracious words are powerful and gracious words can change lives? It may take you seconds to say something good. It may take you seconds to say something positive. It may take you seconds to say something that will encourage a person, and what took you seconds may last for a lifetime. Do you know that God has given to us, each of us, the possible ministry of speaking words into somebody's life that they may never forget until the day they die? That's a powerful ministry. And what I want you to see is you don't have to be behind a pulpit to do it. As a matter of fact, despite what you may think, being behind a pulpit limits the power of your words. Amen. You say, why does it limit your words, Pastor Mike? Because people think, oh, he's just a preacher. That's just what preachers say. I'm telling you the truth. The moment somebody gets into a pulpit and starts opening up a Bible, some people put up a mental shield. And what you say bounces off their mind. Amen. I know because I see it bounce off. And what I want you to know is that you have a powerful ministry of speaking gracious words to people. It may be moments that you have to spend with a person, but it may last a lifetime. I'd never seen that lady. I had never met that lady before. I've never seen her since, but her words have power. That's what the proverb is trying to tell us. And I want us to just briefly look at an example of these powerful words in the life of someone who needed to hear them. See, sometimes you might think that somebody like Timothy might not need gracious words. Someone like Timothy, who's a minister, Somebody like Timothy, who's a pastor. Somebody like Timothy, who served as a missionary. Somebody like Timothy, who's given their lives to serve God. You may think, oh, they need to do all the talking. But I want you to see that even someone like Timothy needed gracious words that would be sweetness to his soul, that would be health to his body. I know that we have read these again and again, and I'm not going to read them right away, but I want you to notice as you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, and we think about these gracious words, I just want to show you two things that these gracious words do in the life of a needy person, somebody who needs them. First of all, gracious words strengthen and encourage us during difficult and challenging times. See, we all face challenges of one sort or another. We all face difficulties of one sort or another. And when you find yourself facing difficulties that don't quickly end, when you find yourself in a period of extended difficulty, that there's something that happens to the inside of you. That it may be a physical illness, it may be a relationship illness, whatever it is. There's something that happens to your spirit when you are in a prolonged period of difficulty. You grow weary, you grow tired, it's hard to move on. There is something that happens. And what I want you to see is that for those who are in periods of extended difficulty, who need ministry and they need help, you may not be in a position to end their difficulty. We want to do that. Praise the Lord, if we have opportunity, we should. But sometimes people are facing difficulties and there's not a thing you can do about it. Sometimes people are facing challenges, and as much as you won't try to move those challenges, and you don't have the strength to do it. You say, what can I do? I feel so helpless in the face of what this person is facing. What can I do? Gracious words strengthen people in times of difficulty and challenge. See, Paul was like a father figure to Timothy. And Timothy is facing a difficult ministry. I don't know if you know this, but sometimes it's difficult to be in the church. Sometimes, sometimes being in church is the most difficult place to be in. Sometimes you find people saying ugly things against you in the church. Sometimes you find people acting in ugly ways in the church. You find them saying ugly things and doing ugly things in God's name. And Timothy was facing something like that, and it was taking its toll on him. And Paul speaks these words, and I want you to listen to what Paul says. It's really powerful. Look at verses 3 and 4. It's powerful. See, Paul, I'm positive. If Paul could have snapped his finger and brought Timothy's challenges to an end, he would have done it. If Paul had the power to wipe out the difficulties Timothy was facing, he would have wiped them out. But he didn't have the power. He could snap his finger as much as he wanted, and nothing would happen. But he could speak gracious words. Listen to them. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. It's powerful. Do you see what Paul is saying? There's at least three things Paul is saying to Timothy, who's struggling. First of all, Paul is saying, you are on my mind. That of all the things I could be thinking about, Timothy, Of all the distractions that could be taking up my time, Timothy, you are on my mind. I am thinking about you as you go through this difficulty. And I want you to know that when you tell somebody and you let them know that I'm thinking about you, I can't change your problems, I can't bring them to an end, but I want you to know you're on my mind. That's powerful. Paul says, I'm thinking about you. You are on my mind. But not only are you on my mind, you're in my heart. He doesn't say the words exactly, but I dare you to challenge me on this. I believe that Paul is saying, I love you. You're on my mind. I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about what you're going through, and you are in my heart. I love you. I know, Timothy, that there are people who don't like you. I know that there are people saying horrible things about you. I know that it's tough, Timothy, but I want you to know that I love you, that I am standing with you, that you are on my mind and you are in my heart. And I want you to know those are powerful words. As long as you're not lying, amen. As long as you're telling the truth. When you speak to someone, and you let them know in all sincerity and truth, I think about you, I am thinking about you, and you, or I love you, that's powerful stuff. That's the type of thing that'll stick on the inside. That's the type of thing that even though the storm doesn't stop, it'll help you stay strong in the storm. Paul says, you're on my mind. Paul says, I'm thinking about you. But he adds to that, not only are you on my mind, not only are you in my heart, you're in my prayers. I'm praying for you. That's all I can do, Timothy. I don't have any more power than that. Paul himself, when he was writing these words, was in prison. He's like, I can't do anything else for you, but I'm praying for you. That I know that not only I love you, but God loves you, and I can't be with you, but God is with you, and God can give you what you need. God is the provider, Timothy. I'm the Apostle Paul, but God is the Savior, and God is the helper, and God is the healer, and God is ever present with you. You're on my mind. You're in my heart, and you're in my prayers. Those are powerful words spoken to Timothy in a time of discouragement. Now, I would go on to verse 5, but I'm afraid to go on to verse 5. Amen. I'm not kidding you. You say, why are you afraid, Pastor Mike? Well, verse 5 is, see verses 3 and 4, that's kind of entry-level encouragement. Amen. Amen, that's basement-level encouragement. We can all jump in on that ministry. We can all say, hey, you're on my mind. Hey, you're in my heart. Hey, you're in my prayer. We can all do that. Amen. We all should do that. Oh, but what Paul gets up to in verse 5, that's advanced ministry. That's not for novices. Amen. You got to have skill to do what Paul is doing there. He said, well, what is Paul doing that is so skillful? Well, I just want you to notice what he's doing. So Paul or Timothy's discouraged. He's feeling inadequate. He's thinking that he's alone. What does Paul do? Paul uses his words to remind him of those who have loved him and have poured into him. Paul begins to touch his deep ministries, or not ministries, his deep memories of how his mother and his grandmother have supported him through the years. What Paul begins to do is touching Timothy in his private memories and drawing them out and showing their resources for you. That God was at work in your past, that God has always been with you, that God was giving you what you needed before you even needed it. And that's advanced ministry, amen. Don't you go trying to poke around in people's memories. Amen, that's for professionals, amen. But I just pointed out to you that that is indeed what Paul is doing. He's showing Timothy, who feels discouraged, no, think about your grandmother Lois. Think about what kind of woman she was and how she poured into your life. Think about your mother. Think about who she was. Think about how she followed the Lord. Think about all of these things, Timothy, because they are resources that God has given you to bless you in this difficult time. See, gracious words strengthen and encourage us during difficult times. You know, I was listening to a song, a Christian contemporary song by a group called the Sidewalk Prophets. And the song is really powerful. And the song tells two powerful stories, two powerful testimonies of people who are in need of gracious words. And I just want to read the story of one of these stories. It's the story of a waitress. And I read this story. You say, why are you reading all this stuff? Why are you taking all this time, Pastor Mike? I do it because the words that the waitress speaks are words that are in the hearts and minds of people who are right around us. And I want us to know that there are people in need of this ministry, and God has equipped you to minister to these people in need. I want to read the words of the Sidewalk Prophets. Now, you may look up the song later, and you may not like the music that goes with it, but the story's powerful. Let me read it. It's a story of a testimony of a waitress. Listen to what she says. The song speaks in first person. We've met half a dozen times. I know your name, but you don't know mine. But I won't hold that against you. You come here every Friday night. I take your order and try to be polite. And I try to hide what I've been going through. But if you look me right in the eye, you would see the pain deep inside. Would you take the time? Tell me what I need to hear. Tell me that I'm not forgotten. Show me there's a God who can be more than I've ever wanted. Because right now, I need a little hope. I need to know that I'm not alone. Maybe God is calling you tonight to tell me something that might save my life. Those are powerful words. That's the power of gracious words. Spoken in seconds, but the impact is a lifetime. We want to be used by God. We want the love of God to flow through us. Speak gracious words, because gracious words, they can minister to people who are going through difficult times. But secondly, not only do gracious words strengthen and encourage us during difficult and challenging times, gracious words stimulate us, and they help us to see the work of God in our lives. Again, you look at Timothy, and you think, wait a second, Timothy's involved in what we would call full-time ministry. You would say, if anyone knows that God's at work in their lives, it's Timothy. But notice, Paul has to speak words to him to help him to see that God is at work in him. Because sometimes, again, life can bear down on us to such an extent, and we are so focused with just keeping up with where we are, let alone getting ahead, just trying to stay afloat, just to tread water, that we may not see that God is at work in us and God is doing things through us. We may not see it, but gracious words can be used by God to help us see what we cannot see otherwise. There are things that other people see about us that we don't see in ourselves. Do you know that? That there's something, it's a funny thing, that it's something about us. There are things about us that we don't know. That other people, they see it, they take it for granted because they see it all the time. but we don't know it. And we need someone to help us see the things that we don't see about ourselves. Let me just give you an example. I don't know how long ago it was, but my daughters and I, we were looking through some family photos. And we're looking through the photos. I think it was like family vacation or something. And as we are flipping through these photos, all of a sudden, I saw myself. And I looked at the picture, and it was a picture of the back of my head. And I flipped. I'm not kidding. I saw the back of my head. And I said, is that what my head looks like? Because as I was looking at the back of my head, I saw a bald spot. And I said, do I look like this? And my daughters were like, yeah, of course you do. Like, yeah, Dad, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? This is a really big deal. It's not even symmetrical. It's a big deal. And they're like, oh, yeah, Dad. Yeah, of course. And that hurt me even more. Because at least if they had shared my shock, at least if they had been like, really, let me see. At least then I would have thought, you know what, maybe this is new. Maybe it's the picture. Maybe it's the light. But they're like, oh, yeah, that's the way it is. And all of a sudden, something that I could not see about myself, the back of my head, the truth about the back of my head came dawning on me. And I began to think, everybody that sees me, just like my daughter, they see the back of my head. And it was a hard thing. Amen. Traumatic. But I tell you that story just to say that there are things about us that are true about us. They're characteristics that we have that we just cannot see. And we need a picture. We need those who can see them to point them out to us and say, this is who you are. This is what we see. This is what you're like. You say, how is that happening with Timothy? Well, notice Timothy is struggling, and Timothy is scared, and Timothy is facing difficulty in his ministry. And notice what Paul says to him, chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. He says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. You see what Paul is saying? He says, I'm reminding you, you are gifted and you are called and God has placed you here and God is at work in your life and God is for you. It doesn't matter if the world is against you, Timothy. God is at work in you. I like how Paul says, fan into flame, you are gifted. And he said, I know because I laid my hands on you myself. God worked through me to build you to the place where you are right now. God's at work in you. You may have lost sight of that, Timothy. You may not be able to see it in the darkness right now, Timothy, but God, his work is on you. And I want all of us to know that as we have placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is in each and every one of us, not just Timothy, not just Paul, not just the pastor, but you. And the Spirit of God is working in you if you have placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God has gifted you. And it may be dark, and it may be hard, and you may want to quit, but you need to know that God has placed his hands on you, and he won't let you go. We need to hear those words. Those words will change people's lives. That's why Paul speaks them to Timothy. the things that we can't see about ourselves. And we need the church. We need God's people. That's one of the reasons why we're here, so that we can speak those gracious words to one another. Now, again, don't go around lying to people. Amen. Being nice. Oh, yay! No, don't do that. Don't do that. You know why? Because being nice is not always being kind. And if you are nice and you tell somebody something that's not true, there is going to come a time where they realize that you lied to them. You were nice, but you were unkind because you put them in a place where they were led to believe something that was not true, and the reality of that lie comes to bear on them. Nice, not kind. But I want you to know, God's at work in his people. We don't have to lie. We don't have to make up stuff. We don't have to say things that aren't true. All we have to do is ask God, focus us in on my brothers and my sisters. Help me to see them. Help me to see how you're at work in them. Help me to see the good that you're doing. Help me to see how Christ is emerging in their lives. And I want you to know that in the life of every Christian, Christ is emerging. Christ is taking shape in everybody's life. The problem sometimes is we're so preoccupied with ourselves, we can't see Jesus in somebody else. And so we need to get over ourselves so we can see Jesus in somebody else. And when we see Jesus in somebody else, tell them. Tell them. Tell them. Tell them. If you see Jesus in somebody, if somebody is kind to you, you thank them and say, thank you for your kindness. If you see lovingness inside of somebody, would you tell them? Now you're thinking, oh, of course they know. It's like the back of my head. They may not know. God may be working through them, and they may be totally unaware of how God's Spirit is working through them and what God's Spirit is working out of them and through them. They may not even know it. That's your ministry, to help them to see it. Just one illustration, and we're almost done here. In my own life, I remember when I was in the church in which I was growing up, one of the things that the people in that church did is they spoke gracious words. And I remember they spoke gracious words to me. And they would tell me a number of times, they would say to me, Mike, God's got his hand on your life. God's going to use you. God's going to do great and powerful things through you. That's what they would tell me. They would tell me this regularly. God's going to use you. God's going to do great things through you. God is at work in you. That's what they would tell me. And guess what? As they told me those things, it took root inside of me. And you know what I began thinking? They were telling me these things, and I was thinking, you know what? Inside of me, yeah, God's going to use me. God's going to do great things through me. God has ministry for me. God is going to work in my life. Those words that they spoke, those gracious words, they were sweet to my soul. They were health to my body. Those words helped me to hear God's call to go to Moody Bible Institute. I went to Moody Bible Institute. I'll never forget. It was during the orientation week. And when it was during the orientation week, one of the leaders of the orientation, he took me aside and he said, Mike, he said, I want you to know you have a pastor's heart. Now, I never heard that before. I had never heard that before. A pastor's heart. And what I was thinking to myself is, I don't know what a pastor's heart is, and I don't want a pastor's heart. Because what I was thinking is, God's going to do great things through me. Amen. Being a pastor, that's too pedestrian. He needs to talk to the people from my church. They said great things, and I believe great things. Being a pastor is a small thing. But he said, I see a pastor's heart in you. I know, later on in that year, one of the people in my dorm, they pulled me aside, and they said, Mike, they said, I could see you. I can see you being a pastor. And I said, stop saying that. Stop saying it. Cut it out. God might hear you. No, stop. Because when I went to Moody, I wasn't in a pastor. I wasn't seeking to be a pastor. I was going to be an urban missionary. Amen. I was going to go into the heart of danger and preach Christ. It's going to share the gospel. And I was going to lead dangerous people to Jesus Christ. They were going to write books about me. Make movies. Tell great stories. When they get together at the Moody annual conferences, they would talk about, remember Michael Thompson. God's going to do great things. And when God dashed all that hubris and pride and all of this, what I'm going to do for him instead of what he's going to do through me, I was able to hear that which people were telling me all the time. I was able to hear, I was able to go back and say, you know what? Even though I came up with all of these delusions about what I was going to do, where I was going to go, who I was going to be, there was a faithful witness of God's people helping me to see, speaking gracious words to me, helping me to see God's work in my life. Helping me to see even that which I didn't even want to see. But it was the work of God's people. It was a gift. And I hold on to it. And I treasure it. And I want you to know that it's not just for me. It's not just for me. It's not just for pastors. This is a gift for all of us. And so what I would hope that you would not do as a result of this sermon, what I hope you do not do as a result of this sermon, is come up to me and say nice things to me. Don't do that. Amen. Now, I mean, I'm in need of gracious words like the rest of us. You know, you are beautiful. Amen. But that's not the application I'm going for here. What I want you to see is that there are people around you. There are people that you come into contact with. There are people who will be in the halls with you. There will be people that you will meet in stores. There may be people in your home. There are people that you will come across, and they will need these gracious words. And God has given you everything you need to speak these words into somebody's life and possibly change them forever. Gracious words strengthen and encourage us during difficult and challenging times. Gracious words stimulate and help us to see the work of God in our lives. The sidewalk prophets, they tell another story, not just of the waitress. They tell a story of a pastor. And I would recommend, go and listen to the song. It's really powerful. And they tell us, one of the testimonies they give is the pastor. And as I close, I want you to read these words. And as I read them and you hear this first person story about a pastor, here's what I want you to know. If this is in the life of a pastor, it's in the life of others. It's in the life of people around us that we come into contact with. Listen to this testimony. The sidewalk prophets and the first person. I'm the pastor at your church. For all these years, you've listened to my words. You think I know all the answers. But I've got doubts and questions too. Behind this smile, I'm really just like you, afraid and tired and insecure. But if you look me right in the eyes, you would see the real me inside. Would you take the time? Tell me what I need to hear. Tell me that I'm not forsaken. Show me there's a God who can be more than all I've ever wanted. Because right now I need a little hope. I need to know that I'm not alone. Maybe God is calling you tonight to say something that might save my life. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. We thank you for the demonstration of that verse in ministry through the Apostle Paul to Timothy. I pray that as we have spent just a brief time thinking about these things, would you work in our hearts, Lord? Would you help us? Would you empower us by your Spirit to speak gracious words to our brothers and our sisters in Christ? Would you send us out into the world? This world, which is, there's so much going on, Lord. There's so much division, and there's so much hatred, and there's so much confusion, and there's so much noise. Would you send us out with a word to encourage people, to strengthen people, to help people look to you and find hope? Would you do that for us, Lord? I pray for us as a church. I pray for us as a community. Would we be a community of love? May we love you with all of our heart and with all of our mind and with all of our soul. But help us not to forget to love our brothers and sisters as ourselves. Help us not to be so caught up in who we are, what we're doing, that we forget our brothers and our sisters. Would you do that in us, Lord, by your Spirit? Would you touch our hearts and would you touch our minds? Would you transform us? Would you make us like Jesus? We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.